My Father's Cousin Michael by Michael Rosen. Family stories come to us in bits and pieces. They're told and retold. Sometimes they're the same. Sometimes they change. Sometimes I remember. Sometimes I forget. I try to hold on to these stories. I write them down. I gather together copies of documents, letters, photos. Sometimes the stories are in my head. Sometimes they're in the bits of paper. Sometimes they're in the things I've seen or imagined I've seen. It begins with a station in Dobrova Gornica. There must have been a train ticket, or some say two. There's a woman. She's my father's aunt, Stella. There's a man, Stella's husband, Bernard. There's a teenager, their son, Michael. Michael gets onto the train. Does his mother go with him? Michael is going to Lvov, some call it Lviv. They think it'll be safer for him there. Why safer? Because the Nazis have ideas about what they want to do with the Jews. Some people are saying that the Nazis want to deport the Jews. Some people are saying that the Nazis want to make them slave labourers. Some people are saying that the Nazis want to send them to prison camps. Some people are saying that the Nazis want to shoot them. Everyone has stories. Everyone has an opinion. Michael goes to Lvov. His mother and father are in Dobrova Gornica. He's a teenager, without his parents. Is he with relatives or friends? His mum and dad write to him, "Are you all right? We're desperately worried about you. Please write back. Write to your uncle in America, Uncle Max. Maybe you can stay with him." In this part of Poland, there are no Nazis. There are Russians. The Russians say that this is Russia now and Michael must become Russian. He refuses. So they take him to a labour camp in Russia where he must work all day, cutting trees and lugging timber. Then the Nazis invade Poland and then on into Russia. The Russians talk to the Poles and they agree there can be a Polish Free Army, some call it Anders Army, because it's led by General Anders. Michael joins the Polish Army. The letters from home stop coming. Now begins a long march out of Russia, through Iran, through Palestine, sometimes fighting, sometimes just moving on and on. Then on to boats to Italy, up through Italy to a place called Monte Cassino. Here there's a very famous battle lasting many days. The German troops are in a monastery at the top of the mountain called Monte Cassino. The Polish army fights its way all the way up the mountain to the monastery, and they win. Many men die. But Michael lives. When the war ends, Michael travels by boat with the Polish army to England. All the Poles are put into special camps in England called Polish resettlement camps. Michael lives here for 2 years. He doesn't hear from his mother or father. He hears that there were ghettos where parts of towns were turned into prisons, and there were camps where people were put to death or died of starvation, disease or overwork. He hears that nearly all the Polish Jews have been killed. He can go back to Poland if he wants. He decides to stay in England. He has some addresses that he remembers. His uncle's in France. His Uncle Max in America. His aunt in London. He decides to go and see his aunt in London and arrives at her house one day in 1948, 8 years after that day he said goodbye to his parents. He stays for a while. He trains to be a London cabbie. He marries. He has 2 sons. He lives for a long, long time. One day, Uncle Max's grandson in America finds some old photos in a box in a cupboard. One of them is of Michael in Poland as a teenager walking down a street with his mother and aunt. When Michael sees it, he is amazed. Mesmerised, his son says. When he is very old, he begins to be forgetful. He goes to live in a Jewish care home in London. With him, he has a photo of his mother. He has the letters in a little canvas bag with a flap that tucks into a strip of canvas. The letters are faded, and some of them are worn, maybe worn from his fingers and thumbs, turning them over and over and over, again and again. At the end of his life, sometimes he speaks with all the languages he knows, Polish, Yiddish, and English. Michael died in 2021. This was a time when there were COVID restrictions. We couldn't have the service inside. The service was outside. Some of us were cold. We thought of Michael and all that he had been through. I thought that even if I was cold, I was not as cold as Michael was in the Russian labour camp in winter, wondering if he would ever see his parents again. I wondered what it would be like to live the whole of the rest of your life only having those letters and the photo, and not knowing exactly what happened to your own mother and father.